Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview business entrepreneurs, tech startups, and anyone that wants to strive in business. And today we have a guest that I actually bumped into in LinkedIn, where I meet a lot of people and potential guests. But this is a very notable guest, actually. Talks about entrepreneurship and business. Haven Meltzer. He's from California. He was CEO of Sports One Marketing, a firm he founded with Warren Moon. Meltzer is a public speaker and an author of the bestsellers Connected to Goodness and Compassionate Capitalism. He was honored by Variety as Sports Humanitarian of the Year and is the recipient of the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. And David, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Looking forward to inspiring and hopefully impacting many people with some good stories, lessons, and advice.
So, Dave, one of the things that captured me was your content. You have a lot of video content, with a lot of interviews, conversations. Can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I have a very eclectic background. I like to call myself kind of the Forrest Gump of entrepreneurship. I started my career by going to law school, and instead of becoming a lawyer, I worked in the internet. I sold legal research online. The company that I work for sold for $3.4 billion in 1995. Despite my mom telling me I should be a real lawyer, I got into the internet and then worked my way to the Silicon Valley, where I assisted in raising a couple hundred million dollars for a wireless proxy server company called EveryPath, and then actually got hired as the CEO of the world's first smartphone, the world's first Samsung-manufactured Windows CE device, not an iPhone, but a Windows device. And in 99, we won Best of Comdex and CTIA and a variety of other things, and was a multimillionaire, and ended up semi-retiring as I got kicked out of Samsung because they found out that I was just a good salesperson. I wasn't a great CEO, and I became an entrepreneur, bought real estate stocks, and met a guy named Lee Steinberg and became COO of Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, the most notable sports agency in the world. And there I met a guy named Warren Moon. Eventually, I became CEO of that agency. We made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm, and we're involved in a variety of other big, big projects. But Warren and I, we spun off a marketing, media, and sponsorship company about 11 years ago, specifically to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. In the last 3 years, build my own brand, authored 4 bestsellers, as you suggested. I have the number one entrepreneur podcast called The Playbook. I have a top digital business show called Elevator Pitch with Entrepreneur Magazine. And speak around the world. I have an executive coaching business in which I inspire others and really live my life to impact others, to be happy. It's really a simple mission and a lifetime mission that I think is much needed in these times today.
Yeah, obviously, I've been reading a little bit about your biography. And, you know, most people, yes, have successes, but they also have some failures beforehand. Can you tell us the perseverance that you had to get yourself successful?
Sure. Well, first of all, I grew up with nothing. So I just wanted to be rich because I grew up with a single mom, 6 kids in Akron, Ohio, in a 2-bedroom apartment, and became a millionaire 9 months out of law school, and then parlayed that into multi-millions of dollars in my 30s. But then my ego caught up with me, surrounded myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas, and I lost everything. I lost over $100 million in real estate stocks, equities on paper, was bankrupt. And through that process, I reevaluated my existence. I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. I started living my life by analyzing my personal values, my experiential values, my giving values and receiving values, but most importantly, live my life with gratitude, which gives me perspective, forgiveness, which gives me peace, accountability, which gives me control, and most importantly, inspiration that drives me to a productive and accessible, efficient, effective, and statistically successful way of helping others to help others, impacting others to impact others, elevating others to elevate myself.
You talk a lot about gratitude. Can you tell us the importance of gratitude in your success?
Gratitude is everything, because gratitude is perspective, and perspective is everything. Gratitude makes our past better, our present even better than that, and our future even brighter than that. Gratitude gives us an I get to do, not I got to do it attitude. Gratitude gives us I can do, not I can't do attitude. Gratitude gives me a try me, not a why me attitude. Gratitude can take any situation, find the light in it, and provide value to what we do in an instant of a second. Gratitude is the most important thing. In fact, if you want to change your life, the best piece of advice that I give to people is simply say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up, at least for 30 straight days. It not only will change your conscious perspective, but it will become part of the 40,000 subconscious thoughts that you have and access every day, whether you're awake or not. And even more importantly, it will create a frequency in your unconscious competency. Your personality traits will change, your characteristics will change, your obsessions and addictions will change simply by saying thank you. 0.1 seconds before you go to bed, 0.1 seconds when you wake up will change your life.
You've worked in both in sports and technology. Can you describe the differences in both industries? I know they're kind of like night and day, but can you tell us your experience with those two industries?
Sure. You know, the technology industry is a fast moving industry because it changes so quickly, right? Your competition sometimes lies within itself. For example, Apple's biggest competitor is Apple, right? The biggest competitor Apple has right now to the iPhone 11 is the iPhone 10. And before that, it was the iPhone 8, and then 7, 6, 5, and 4. I mean, how many iPhone 4s exist today? Technology has overachieved, right? It's accelerated so far that there's more data and processing that exist in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow than it existed in all the 1950s in the entire decade. So technology was much more fast moving and unknown, where sports and entertainment is much more scarce, traditional, shortages, voids, and obstacles, much more difficult to get into, where technology, anyone could have an imagination, an idea, and be funded millions of dollars, where everybody wanted to get in sports, but you're not allowed in. But once you're in, it's a lot less competitive. So it's, in essence, you know, very interesting and diversified differences between technology and sports. And I just want to credit you, because that's a really good question that no one's asked me before.
Yeah, obviously, I actually have a sports podcast and also work in technology, and I hardly see people cross paths in both, in both industries. It's kind of really rare. In sports, is a whole different set of people, type of mindset, and technology is way different. Typically, not many tech people watch sports, and sports people do like technology, but they're not like nerds or anything. So it's something. Right. Very curious about that. Would you describe yourself as a motivational speaker?
You know, it's interesting, but other people describe me as a motivational speaker, an inspirational speaker. I've been blessed to be a top five Forbes speaker in the world, top 10 entrepreneurial speaker in the world, won many accolades for being a motivational, inspirational speaker. I believe that, to me, I'm an impactful author, an impactful speaker, and an impactful executive coach. My goal is to elevate others, to be of service, and provide value. If along the way, the things that I do, the content that I create, whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, or any type of media, stages, print, radio, TV, social media, if any of those things have the impact of inspiration, then I've done my job, and I'm absolutely complimented if somebody thinks of me or brands me as an inspirational speaker.
In these events that you speak at, or, you know, that you get interviewed, what's like the most common topics that always, you know, typically bring up in your meetings?
The most common topic is gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. So I will, stick to those four core principles, and I will, love to speak at any time about those four core principles, because I think it changes people's lives.
You've always said that you wanted to impact a billion people. How's that path going so far?
So I've broken it down to, if I can impact 1,000 people, to impact 1,000 people, to impact 1,000 people, 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000, 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000, then I'm able to reach my goal. And so I think, you know, considering I should be around this planet for the next 60 years, I'm way ahead of schedule of impacting 1,000 people.
Which social media tools have you seen been very very effective? Obviously, I mean, LinkedIn has, you know, reached to me, but have you seen more in Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter? Like, which platform do you do like the best with?
You know, it's interesting because I think LinkedIn I do the best on because I have a corporate background and a business nature, a quantitative value that I provide. Although I do very well on Instagram, you know, have a big, big following there. I do well just on the web and building my YouTube. I have one of the fastest growing YouTube channels at David Meltzer, an inspirational channel. So I really don't care which platform. I try to provide information and content on all platforms in order to reach my goal of impacting 1 billion people.
How important is managing your time to be a successful person?
Time is the most important thing. I'm a student of my calendar. The rules that I live by are ones of utilizing time as a lens of productivity and accessibility. So time to me, that's why I have a 5-20 rule, 5-minute phone calls, 20-minute meetings and interviews, all to effectuate the efficiency, statistical success, and most importantly, efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success of utilizing quantitative value with time.
You do mention about losing $100 million. Can you tell us that experience?
Yeah, so losing over $100 million, I heard this today, right? It was probably the thing I have the most gratitude for, most thankful for, I learned the most lessons from, but it's one of the most dissatisfying experiences of my life. So I think it's important that people can equate and separate dissatisfaction from gratitude. And so I am completely grateful for losing everything that I had and because of the lessons that I've learned, but it is a very dissatisfying experience and doesn't realm, you know, it wasn't so great. It wasn't so happy as it was happening.
How important is to lower the bar?
Oh, lowering the bar is one of the most important things because enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential is the most important thing to be happy. So in order to create the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential, the first key is to start doing it, to do it now. In order to do it now, what happens is a lot of people raise the bar and make it almost impossible to do. Or when they do it, they're so sore or abused or shattered afterwards, they don't want to do it again. So I believe in lowering the bar and being able to create a consistent behavior before you actually push yourself.
Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
My favorite entrepreneur is a guy named Carl Fisher. Carl Fisher created the Indy 500. He was the richest man on earth 3 different times and bankrupt in between. He's my favorite entrepreneur. He created the Lincoln and Holland freeways, South Beach, Montauk. He created the Indy 500 and was an extraordinary entrepreneur, changed our country in so many different ways by opening it up with the Lincoln and Holland freeways, by creating Fisher Island in Montauk and South Beach, by having the courageous behavior of, you know, losing everything twice in his life and becoming the richest man on earth, quite a philanthropist as well. And also our automobile industry credits him for not only building the Indy 500, but in that process, he lost his brother testing out the asphaltum at the Indy 500, whereupon he still fought for what he believed in to prove that American cars were better than European cars by creating a stage in which to show off our vehicles. So Carl Fisher is my favorite entrepreneur.
What is your favorite book or any business book?
Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is my favorite business book. It encompasses the pragmatic behaviors as well as the spiritual perspective that's necessary in order to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of
fun. And what is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is to be kind to your future self and do good deeds.
That's pretty simple. That's good. And do you offer any programs or seminars online for anyone that's interested?
I do. Just reach out to me at David Meltzer. Search David Meltzer. My website's D Meltzer. I have multiple places, from Entrepreneur, Forbes, coaching programs, webinars, speeches, all over the place, a ton of different content. So just remember the name David Meltzer, DavidMeltzer at David Meltzer, or the website, first initial last name, dmeltzer.com, and figure out how best to be of service and provide value to you. I really appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so, so much.
David Meltzer, I appreciate you coming into the podcast.
Thanks. Take care.